it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They tend to have to throw balls up, and so their miss is almost always going to be high in the pocket because they're shorter and they're having to loft up and over, and they're not able to get that downward throwing motion from the pocket.
Well, he said something in there that I found was fascinating, and I completely agree with you. And Drew Brees is the poster child,
no doubt.
The guy that you want to hear when it comes to the shorter quarterbacks, because this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best of his generation, absolutely. But Purdy's saying, you know, when I get back to 100%, I don't think that's ever happening. Not in the NFL. Like, it just doesn't, like, no one's 100%, quote unquote, in the league, but that toe is not going to just heal on its own.
Well, and you saw it to me, like, it was pretty evident. You want to call it rust, fine. But, like, his ball placement was bad in this game. It's just a one-off, but it was bad. And I do think it had something to do with the foot. The overcompensation for not trying to drive the ball, and it's going to affect your accuracy.
Well, the fact that he said, I don't know, I was like, well, then it's...
That means you kind of knew.
You kind of knew then. Like, I don't know if it was the toe or not. Well, it was part of it. It had to be part of it. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 1 hour down, 3 to go here on a hump day in the Bay. It was like raining a bunch too. Like, East Bay had some rain on my car on the windshield when I went out. There was like puddles here in San Francisco. Was it raining a lot at your place last night?
Yeah.
It was God crying tears of joy that Jonathan Kuminga is back in the Bay. That's why it was raining, baby. That's right. JK hath returned. 2 years.
Yeah.
Come on. Get no more crisis. It's over. There's no more crisis. 2 years, $48.5 million, baby. All right. Team option on the second year. And I guess the contract could be quote unquote ripped up and renegotiated next summer. I'm not going to worry about that. He is here. He is at training camp. Al Horford, come on down. D'Anthony Melton, come on down. Seth Curry, come on down.
Hey, but be careful, D'Anthony Melton. Don't get hurt.
Well, yeah.
Come on down.
I don't need him being on a scooter in the rain and slipping. We don't need that happening like me this morning. I slipped and almost it was almost bad. By the way, we are talking about Jonathan Kuminga.
You have a helmet for that thing?
And, you know, helmets, I should probably.
Can you do me a favor? Please put on a helmet.
I know. Dibs has told me multiple times.
No. Like it's.
Yeah,
it's
I know. I don't want.
One of my friends went on a very long.
I know.
Troubled path after an accident on a motorized bike.
I know. I don't go very fast. If that.
And no. It doesn't matter. Okay. You have to protect yourself.
Okay. Protect
the
my
cars
own.
Around
it's
you.
It's not about
fast.
You. Yeah, exactly. It's not about you. Like I'm being no like. Friend to friend, like this is like I'm getting deep here, but you need to wear a freaking.
I know.
Helmet.
I've
no,
heard,
no. It's not ridiculous. No, you do.
I know. I am also my own man.
No, you're not. You're being fake macho.
I'm not being fake macho.
Just put the helmet
on. I realize
on.
I should wear one, and I wasn't. I'll get it. Can we move on to Jonathan Kuminga? Please?
I love bicycles.
Thank you. I'm not. It's not a bicycle, by the way. It's a scooter. It's not a razor scooter.
Hey, Scott got in a huge accident on a bicycle while wearing a helmet and was lucky to like live.
Are we going to talk about this?
No, I'm just saying, dude. Like, dude, people are bad.
I've been doing this
morning,
for like 3. I get it. I
just,
know.
Put a helmet on.
I know. Okay. Hey, Joe.
I want to hear you say
Joe.
I will.
No, I'm not going to tell you that. But you told me. And you told me. And you warned me. Dibs warned me. Everyone's warned me. I should put on a helmet. I get it.
It's not about being right. It's about
no,
my
it's about
being
protecting
safe.
Myself. I know. And the Warriors are going to protect themselves with Jonathan Kuminga with the salary slot.
I'm
I think
sorry.
They
I'll
did.
Move off.
It's okay. Let's do that. I get it. No, I... Listen, hey, Joe. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not being insincere with it. All right? There we go. Steve Kerr said something very interesting in regards to this yesterday. Because he wasn't
Wait, he
there.
Talked?
He did. He wasn't there on day one, as Nick Friedell astutely pointed out. By the way, Nick Friedell, who covers the team for The Athletic, joining us at 8:30, courtesy of River Islands. Steve Kerr, on if anyone to talk about the actual game of basketball yesterday after all the Kuminga conversations.
Have you talked to Jonathan much throughout this process over the last couple months?
Again, I'm going to wait till
he signed, and then you can ask me same question in a couple days.
Then I'll just follow up with this, and maybe you can give me the same response. But you're watching all this, and you've lived it with him, obviously, these last few years. From your perspective, do you think he wants to be here moving forward?
Okay, again, I'm gonna talk about him after he's signed. We'll have those discussions. So, thank you. Anyone want to talk about basketball?
God, I love Nick Friedell so much. That guy asking those questions again, joining us at 8:30. No, we don't want to ask you about the actual. Like, well, we have so much time for that, Steve. What went on this summer? What'd you do? Right. Like, that's what we care. It's literally the same as Bob Melvin. When Bob Melvin was asked last week, does anyone want to talk about the game? No, Bob, no one cares about the game. You guys are out of the playoffs.
Well, it has taken all the oxygen of the offseason.
Yeah, but now we can move on, right? Now we can move on.
Well, I mean,
can we? 888-957-9570. Can Warriors fans
move on
from this?
I'm ready to move on, and let's just go. Let's try to win as many games as we can and just figure out what we got.
Well, what made me feel better, this is more from Steve Kerr speaking to the media yesterday, head coach of the Warriors. They've been through a lot more like turmoil and bigger deals than what's going on with JK in this contract situation.
I mean, I don't think this is that big of a deal. This is business. This is contract disputes happen all the time in sports. So, again, I'm not concerned. We expect this to get resolved soon, and once it is, I'd be more comfortable talking, you know, about the basketball end of things and all of that. I'm not going to really say much more than I've just said, because otherwise we're kind of spinning our wheels here. So as soon as we get the all the unsigned guys in our building, then I'm happy to talk about all of them.
So they've been through much bigger stuff. This is nothing. Like, in fairness, he did have one of his star players punch a teammate, and they had to deal with that. And remember,
I mean, they lost a guy on the staff. They've had some
horrific stuff happen, man.
Yeah.
Like, so this is small potatoes. This is kind of what I'm getting at. Like, and I'm not. Sam came in here during the break and was just like, you know, like when we get back to the Kuminga conversation, you know, are fans ready to forgive JK? And he used that word, and I
forgive.
Thought it was well. That it was interesting.
And what?
No, because I think a lot of people feel this way, and I think it was a good question to be asked. I was like, forgive. What did JK do that was wrong?
Well, he used the entire offseason. No, I'm not saying wrong. He used the entire offseason. I'm aggravated. It took till day 92 of the offseason for, you know, for this to finally reach a conclusion. But I don't think he's, you know, he doesn't owe me an apology, and I'm not mad at him per se.
He's not missing, let me get this straight, he's not missing any training camp. Like, that's what I need him here for, is training camp. He's doing all, like, all these other guys are doing their off-season workouts and their own parties. Yeah, he wasn't there for the little get-together at Jimmy Butler's place. Okay, if you want to get mad at him for that or be upset that he's not there for the camaraderie's sake, sure. Okay, but outside of that, There was no other organized like player activities that I could think of. Maybe there's some parties, and again, that's private. But to forgive, like, that's just a word I can't really wrap my mind around right now. It's not like he did anything illegal. Like, did he go to your family, Warriors fans, and you know, knock on the door and said, you know, and started like shouting expletives at you? Like this was a negotiation. Yeah, it went on longer than we all wanted it to. We got exhausted talking about it, but it's done, and he's there for training camp. Now let's get into it, right? If Warriors fans are still upset about the guy or with the guy, 888-957-9570, I would love to hear why. I this whole notion that you have to forgive Jonathan Kuminga, I think is laughable. It was almost similar, you know, the Jordan Poole when he came back, and after that whole saga, it's just like, I'm not rooting for Jordan Poole. What did he do to you? What did Jordan Poole do to you other than have a poor performance on the court? Okay, sure. Yeah, in hindsight, maybe we could all understand why. Like, it's the whole notion of forgiveness in this. And what do they say? Forgiveness is next, you know, forgiveness is next to godliness, or cleanliness is next to godliness, whatever. I'm butchering it because I think it was an Office quote from Michael Scott. But like, I just, that's not the word I would use. Is forgive And Warriors fans, where are you at on Jonathan Kuminga right now and the Warriors roster as they finally are bringing in these guys that they've been rumored to bring in for months on end? Horford, Melton, Seth Curry, right? You're bringing all these guys. You know, got Pat Spencer's back. Will Richard, your rookie. You got Jimmy. You got, you know, Draymond. You got Steph. We could finally move forward here. Are Warriors fans ready to move forward finally? 888-957-9570.
I don't know. I'm getting a very mixed response from people overall. I think there's a variety of people that are thrilled that it's ready, done, and we can start talking about the actual team. And then there's a lot of people that are just upset.
About what?
Just about Jonathan.
Why are we upset? No. Like, what is upsetting Warriors fans right now this morning with Jonathan Kuminga? I genuinely
it does feel
know.
Like there are a lot of people that either just don't like him or didn't like the way he went about it.
Why don't they like him?
I don't know.
Is like, you cannot like the style of play that, like, the brand of basketball he plays with the team. Like, why would you have anything against the person? I guess I'm questioning.
Well,
Jonathan
I think people. I'm not. This isn't me. Okay, but I do believe there are a lot of people that see him as an avatar for. Huh? You care about the second timeline more than Steph Curry. I know. I don't. I didn't say I agreed with it.
No, I'm rolling my eyes at the notion of that. Not you.
Unwasted, yeah. Or I guess wasted resources that could have been used to better help this team.
Dub Nation. Check this out. As Jonathan Kuminga returns, the preseason is right around the corner, Joe, and we're tipping things off in style 95-7 the game. Check this out. I know you're excited about this. Join us at Pier 39 this Saturday, October 4th. This Saturday, all right, Joe? This Saturday, October 4th. Am I going to stop by, little guy?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I got a big 50th anniversary party for my uncle.
Awesome. Warriors.
50 years
maybe. Maybe you take him down to the Warriors preseason special this Saturday, October 4th. Again, Pier 39, live appearances. With some of the Warriors fans' favorites, Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalen Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. Plus, your chance to win some tickets to the first preseason game the following day on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron James and the Lakers. And if that's not enough, Evan freaking Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype. And the season is almost here, and your station for everything Warriors is 95.7 The Game. Let's dive more into Kuminga.
Did Guru know that he needs to bring a thesaurus and an encyclopedia to work with Ev?
Hey, Evan brings out the best. Hey, Evan brings out the best in the hosts here at 95.7 The Game. Just like Jonathan Kuminga is going to bring out the best in some of these Warriors old guys, right?
Yeah, but he brings out words that I don't know. I'm going to need to Google him.
Well, Jonathan Kuminga brought out some emotions from Warriors fans this summer, and as soon as he signs, they're nowhere to be found. Warriors fans, where are you at? 888-957-9570. James in Oakland on the other side, brought to you by Pier 39.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonathan Kuminga is showing up. He showed up. He didn't miss any organized Warriors activities, right? Now, the Jimmy Butler one, if you wanted to call that a team camaraderie thing, okay. But from the team, the Golden State Warriors, they're cashing the checks, the Joe Lacob Golden State Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga showed up, and they got the deal done, and now it's time to get to work. And that's what I'm excited for. But we're talking about him like he's like legitimately like already destroyed this team's psyche. Why? I guess is my question. 888-957-9570. We got a bunch of people on the phone lines.
We waited all summer, 92 days for him to finally get here, and now he's here.
He's here.
And I'm seeing a lot of people, oh, here we go, January 15th, we're going to trade him away. Let's talk about what they have right now. Where does Jonathan Kuminga slot into this team right now? Now, I don't think the Warriors today, when they all huddle up and everybody comes together and they start getting ready for their first couple of practices, I don't think they're like, put JK over there. We'll trade him in January. Like, they're going to play him. I don't know where.
Exactly.
I don't know where he fits in. So let's, if my starting five, hypothetically, Steph Pods, Jimmy Dre Horford.
Steph Pods, Jimmy Dre Horford. So you're having Pods in over Buddy Hield. That's...
It's to me, it's probably, I'm going to go Pods, but Hield was my other one.
Okay.
So let's just say whoever is the sixth man, it'll be either Pods or Hield.
Okay. Yes, I would agree. That is what we can agree on right now. Yes.
Okay.
After that is the major questions. Yes.
Well, your backup centers are probably going to be Quentin Post and Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So those are your backup centers. Who are your other, players that are going to get in the rotation somewhere between the 2 and 4 position?
Moses Moody.
Moody.
Guy Santos.
Wow, you went Guy before GP. Okay.
Well,
Gary Payton, exactly.
Gary Payton the second.
GP2.
Where's D'Anthony Melton at, health-wise?
It's a good question.
Seth Curry now?
Wow, that's a good question. Is Curry going to be a combo guard?
I don't know what he's going to be right now. Okay. I don't. I'm actually excited. That's cool. I think it's cool that his brother.
I think it's really cool.
I guess with his brother. That's pretty
cool. I always
cool.
wanted Seth.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. The aspect
I'm
of
with
that.
You on that. That is really cool.
So those are the other names that I would
One,
give you
two,
right
three,
now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 would be Hield. 7, 8 is Quentin Post, TJD. So the 9th would be Kuminga.
Yeah. Around that. But I think Kuminga's a part of all of that.
Yeah. Yes. No, I know. These are the 9 guys that aren't the starting 5.
Exactly. And
wow, this is low. I mean, we're talking about cramped.
Well, it's good. You need depth because.
All right. Well, who are your fours on this team? Conceivably, who could play power forward on this team?
I mean, it's Draymond Green.
Dre.
Right. If you want Jimmy to play there, can.
I do think Jimmy could play some sort of a point forward.
Yes.
Okay. Kuminga.
Kuminga.
What about Moody? They tried it last year.
I don't love that.
I don't either, but they did try it last year.
They did try it. Yeah, I don't love it. I mean,
what about Guy?
Guy, I guess, right? I guess Guy Santos.
Do you anticipate any 2 big lineups?
Possibly. Again, the thing with Steve Kerr is he will go at the matchup. Like any given matchup, he can change things up, which I actually respect about him. He's not going to have a set lineup every single time. Now, that might bite you come playoff time, but they're just trying to stack wins in the regular season, which I think you're getting at is... They're going to have some time to tinker with this as the season goes on.
No, they have to.
But it needs to translate to wins on top of it.
Joe, I'm telling you, this team is crowded at the perimeter and primarily 1 and 2.
Yes.
They really don't have a traditional 3, and they really don't have a traditional 4.
They don't.
And I don't think they have a modern 3 or a modern 4 either.
I like the age of the word modern because I don't know what it is. It's a big question mark, and this is where Steve Kerr comes into place. He was able to solve that Rubik's Cube puzzle we kept talking about of this Warriors rotation once Kuminga went down. We said this is going to be one of the toughest tasks that Steve Kerr is going to have to deal with, bringing Jimmy Butler onto this roster, not knowing anything about him, coaching him-wise, bringing him with Steph. How's he going to play alongside Steph? How's he going to play alongside Draymond Green? He doesn't have a three-point shot. He's going to be the slow-paced kind of a guy, right?
Yeah.
Slow things down, but he's going to be a dog defensively. How's it going to mix with Potts? How's it going to mix when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, right? And we never really got the opportunity to do that because his team was fighting tooth and nail in the standings at a 10th spot at the time.
Well, now, as I look at this, wow, it feels really crowded.
Yeah.
But let's take a step back. How many back-to-backs?
15, I think.
Okay, how many are in the beginning part of the season?
Ooh, it's a good question. I can look into that. But I'm pretty sure in the totality it's 15. But like 5, I think, is early on.
Let's just say 5. So there are going to be 5 games where there's no Horford.
Nope.
At all.
He doesn't play back-to-backs. For those of you who don't know, Al Horford has not played back-to-backs for the last few seasons.
So that's, possibly 30 to 35 minutes. I don't know, maybe it's 25. 25 to 30 some odd minutes a game, 5 times. And then Jimmy, Dre, Steph. You would think they would stagger some of their missed games.
Correct. Yes, I would think so. You're looking at me.
No, I'm thinking how many games, just in my head, I should expect those guys to play this year.
Well, that's why the young guys are so important and taking another leap this year. What the Jonathan Kuminga,
that's where I'm going.
Where he comes in on these back-to-backs in particular. This is where you lean on the young legs, and they have to make another step and leap. I thought Pods did take a leap last year. I thought Moody did take a leap last year. I think we're a little jaded because how it ended in the playoffs.
I would agree.
And it was bad. It was ugly. But you know what? That was Brandon Podziemski's first ever playoffs. I'm going to be a little softer on a guy like Pods there. Moody, that was his first like legit playoff exposure when it came to like minutes allocated.
Yes.
And he came up short. And he also had an injury, we all found out.
So they have five back-to-backs in their first 17.
There you go. Five.
So in their first 17. Wow.
It's incredible.
So, I mean, you would think Dre and Steph would miss at least one of those.
Yes.
Early on, and Jimmy at least one of those. So I guess where I'm going at is, on paper, when fully healthy, with normal rest, boy, it's crowded.
It is. But that's a good problem to have. Now, at the same time, we talked about this last year.
Exactly.
When it came to all those different lineups. It's like, yeah, they were winning. How sustainable was it? I think that's where you're getting at.
Exactly. But with the baked-in back-to-backs, I think that opens up playing time for Seth, for Moody, for Gee, for GP2, for Melton, for Kuminga. Like, naturally, I guess is the way I would put it.
And,
organically.
And that's going to be the question, is how Kuminga starts playing with some of these other guys in the lineup combinations. I don't even care about, you know, the starting aspect of it all. And I get it. That's like some of the players, the stars do. Like,
I think
like
Kuminga cares. I do.
Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. I think he did care at one point, Joe, about the starting.
Who?
Kuminga. I don't know if that's like a big deal right now for him on this squad, because he understands coming back here, he's probably not going to be starting. There's going to be some games where he does. There will be some games where he does start.
Joe,
because as you mentioned, the back-to-backs.
Can I use the old man analogy I have?
What's up?
When I play on the 40-plus team, I know I'm a starter.
Right. Well,
when I play with all the young guys, I know I'm a bench player. You know what I mean? Like, that's you got to kind of know your role.
Do they have enough
are?
Young guys, though, to like push Kuminga to the side that like shows like Moses Moody, for example? I think this is a big year for Moses. Like, hey,
I don't know what to make of him.
Can he build off what he did last year? I'm very curious, because God, it is hard for me, as I'm kind of pulling a Steiner here, playing both sides. It is hard for me to, you know, disassociate what I saw in the playoffs and him coming.
But you also have to understand,
up so small.
Play will fluctuate throughout the year.
I know.
Guys are going to play themselves in and out of favor based on form.
I know. And Pods, for a stretch there, looked like the best three-point shooter in the league.
And then early in the year, he looked like... He looked awful.
And towards the end of the year in the playoffs, looked awful. Couldn't hit a shot.
So, look, Kuminga's back. Are you happy? Kuminga's back.
I am happy. Yes.
Where does he fit in? Kuminga's back. What does this roster look like?
It's funny.
No, these we're
great
here.
Questions.
Let's go.
They're great questions.
888-957-9570.
That's kind of how I phrase it early on. Kuminga's back. Now what for this team? Now it starts. Now it begins. That's why I think all the pressure... It's not on JK. It's not on Steph. It's not on Jimmy and Draymond. It's on the head coach this year to figure it out. That's where all the pressure lies to me, is Steve Kerr. How is he going to figure this thing out, Joe? How is he going to be able to stagger these minutes? How is he, like, you're laughing, but it's true.
Joe,
I don't envy this.
Great.
No. I think it is the most unenviable position as a head coach in the Bay Area right now. Whoever is going to be the next Giants head coach, Kyle Shanahan, whoever.
You think this is the hardest spot?
This is the hardest spot to navigate for a head coach right now. Might be in the all of the NBA, quite frankly. No other lineup is going to have the age that the Warriors do.
Well, they're one of the oldest teams. The Clippers are also very old.
Yeah, that's another one.
So don't sleep on how old the Clippers are.
Okay, I'm not going to sleep.
But they are, like, the combination of old and short, because they are the shortest, by average, the Warriors are the shortest team in the NBA.
But I'll say this, the Clippers stud that no one talks about, I know James Harden gets all the love, I know Kawhi gets all the love, Zubac is still relatively young. So, like, they do have some young size to lean on there. The Warriors don't have that young size, Kuminga, that they can lean on consistently enough, right? That's what I want to come out of this season, too, is to be able to lean on Jonathan Kuminga at times when that age is clearly a factor.
And I wonder where Quentin Post is.
Mm.
You know, he flashed. You saw promise.
Another guy.
You can kind of see where he might fit. You just wonder.
Steve Kerr didn't trust him at all in the playoffs.
I don't
blame him either.
I don't blame him.
But that's why that playoff exposure, though, was so important for these guys, I think. Now, it sucks. You'd like to learn, like, take... You know, what you learn with wins rather than losses, but sometimes it takes the losses to really learn as a player and just kind of get those scars, right, and those calluses. And I thought QP had to go through that. I thought Brandon Podziemski had to go through it. I thought Moses Moody had to go through it. There was a lot of trial by fire last year. And these guys were fighting tooth and nail to just get out of that 10th seed, go through the plan. That first round series was a grind. They kind of made it harder on themselves going up 3-1 and failing to close it out. in a short amount of time, and obviously it pushed it to seven, and that contributed to Stephen Curry getting hurt. That contributed to these guys being exhausted, and you saw it in that second round against the T-Wolves.
We talked about them all summer.
I know.
3.5 months.
I know.
And we're here. Where are you at, Warrior fans?
Well, James in Oakland. We'll go to him right now. 888-957-9570. James, kick things off. Kuminga's back.
How's it going, fellas? Love the talk today. I will say, I don't think if it wasn't for the presence and of the talking heads and social media and stuff, that this would be as blown up as it's been. I think when there's a contract situation or whatever going on, like, of course. But, I mean, the kid's about to be 23 years old in, like, 4 days or something like that. He's got to get his money. So I don't feel bad because he did, again, like you guys were saying about the Niners guys, like, they were missing camp. He didn't even miss a single, like, day of camp. Nope. So it's not really – I don't really think that's on my mind. What I am going to say, though, is that I am legit excited this year just because now with Horford getting added in, and then we got Seth and we got some pieces. Like, I think now this could be just me, but I think that Kuminga could just be an all-out, just like leader of the second unit, to where we got a guy who can legit put up, you know, who's averaging 15, 16, and 5 rebounds. That's not a bad second unit at all. And then, you know, we got Horford. Now we got a big guy. We got somebody else to help Dre and Jimmy on the defensive end. We got a legit big for what? The first time since Andrew Bogut, really? Like, it's an exciting time to look forward to the season and go, oh, Steph just doesn't have to fire off 30 every single game because we got no D.
Thanks, James in Oakland. And, yeah, he mentioned Al Horford being a legit big. Yeah, I don't view him as that. Now, he's got size, but I don't view him as Anthony Davis.
Can I be in wait-and-see mode on Horford?
Yes, absolutely. I was actually kind of shocked he signed into a multi-year contract. Do we have the specifics of that deal yet? Have those been released? I don't think so. I was very, shocked when I heard that. The guy's about to be 40 coming up next June. Multi-year deal for a guy that's big? That shocked me. It could be a player team option. I have no idea, but I'm very curious to see what Al Horford. I'm in wait and see mode on him too. I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
Yeah, we will see.
D'Anthony Melton too. Those are two huge question marks.
I do believe having Horford here will be very, very, very beneficial to Quentin Post. Horford, Ella, really changed. Like the kid who was in Florida when I watched him was with Florida, and the guy that he eventually developed into the man that could now hit corner threes is very different than what he was when he was coming out. Right. Like just so dramatically different. So, I think he could be an invaluable tutor to a guy like Quentin Post.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about JK's return to the Warriors. Now what, Warriors fans? What is the biggest question mark for you with this team?
I just
how does it all fall together? Is it the puzzle pieces?
Yeah.
Is it fitting it all together? Is it the age? Can you win with this age of the three best players being 35 years of age or older? Could that happen? Like, that's going to be where you need Pajemski, Moody, and JK to take leaps. If those three guys can take a leap in any shape or form, then you are talking about championship contending right now. I'm not there yet. Can we contend in the Western Conference first? I think they can. That's where you start. Can they contend to be a playoff, not play-in team? That's where I start. They were in the Western Conference semis last year, guys. They did get there. We were asking this time last year, Joe, can you just not be a play-in team? And they proved that they were a play-in team. They won that game. They did. Now, at one point, they played themselves into a top four seed, which is insane. I don't know how they did it. Things didn't shake out their way. Overtime against the Clippers on the final game of the year. Tough loss. But they showed they have enough gumption and oomph and mental toughness to be a playoff team. Now it's about the age and if they have the legs to do it.
Look, the age is definitely an alarming factor.
Yes.
But I also think that, you know, the age is one aspect. the height and the lack thereof, knowing what the kryptonite was at the end of last year, I don't see that they really solved their height issue. That to me, I think, is the biggest area of concern. And then I would add in on that shooting.
That being said, though, they did play a team that has some like legit height in the Houston Rockets. And I know it went seven. They were up 3-1 against them.
Okay, but Joe, I know. We could talk about Steph Curry getting injured, which is so real. Julius Randle destroyed them.
Did.
He didn't just have he had one of the greatest series. I thought he was not a very good player. I did not think he was efficient. He dominated in a variety of phases and got any shot he wanted on that floor. So that guy's not going away. You have got to find a way to offset power forward and center production offensively. Even Gobert, as much as we want to laugh at him, Gobert got the last laugh in that series. Like, I know, Curry got out, and so a lot of people are going to throw away the whole series. Gobert and Julius Randle destroyed us.
And they should have won game three. If you're a Warriors fan, like, that's the one that slipped away, and it was Jimmy Butler going scoreless in those remaining minutes. It was Jonathan Kuminga and him in tandem kind of going off, but that was the one that you let slip away, and then the series is over.
But, like, you referenced Zubac at the end of the year. Şengün had his way. You know, Aaron Gordon had his way. We know Jokic is... He's one of the greatest players ever.
He's a unicorn.
Right, but there are so many bigs that are going to have their way. So I don't know, like, as much as age is a definite, I am so scared of the age. To me, the lack of height is equally, if not more, alarming.
It's always been a thing with the Warriors, though. That's why maybe for me, I just kind of put it in the back because it's always at the center. It's just, it's athleticism and height. I feel like we've been talking about that for the Warriors forever.
Yeah, but when you had Clay at 6'7" playing shooting guard, and you had Iggy at 6'8", 6'9" playing
shooting. That was a long time ago.
They were long. No, I know, yeah. I know, but I'm just going prime.
Right.
You know, like, KD is 7 foot. You know, like, we've seen him standing next to Anthony Davis. He's taller. So... there were different versions of this team that were just significantly wider and longer. Height doesn't necessarily mean I'm tall.
No, it doesn't. You play big sometimes, and people play small.
Draymond is not a traditional. He's a big. Defensively, he's a big. Offensively, he plays like a point guard.
Like, Lauri Markkanen is, I think, 7 feet tall. Doesn't play like a 7-footer.
He plays more like a stretch three than he
Correct.
Does.
And like, yes. And I'm glad we don't have to mention that name again.
Lowry.
Thank God. I know. Remember that summer? The summer of Lowry?
Like, I use Scottie Pippen as a great example. You know, the Chicago Bulls. He's one of the longest players to ever play the game. He's probably the greatest perimeter defender I've ever seen.
I mean, I talk about a perimeter defender like tandem. It's probably the best ever. Him and Jordan. Are you kidding me? It's like, that's why they won.
The only thing close, Prime, Wade, and LeBron were pretty freaking amazing.
They were pretty good, right? But even then, Wade, I think, is listening.
I'm still taking Jordan Pippen.
Yes, because I think Pippen's taller and longer than Wade, for sure.
But when they locked in,
that
team, God, LeBron was, because LeBron could, I mean.
Dude, you know, I saw this yesterday. This is going to be his 8th year in Los Angeles? That's insane
to me. How many in Cleveland? 11?
I think so. He's like approaching, like, getting through those Cleveland years. He's already like almost doubled his time in Miami. That's insane.
Well, he was there 3 years?
Four, right? So he's already doubled that? Yeah. That's insane to me. Oreo Cookie, talking some dubs, Oreo. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you guys have been knocking it out the park this whole morning, man. You guys have been making some great points. The point that I was going to make, you guys talked about it. Then you went on to Steve Kerr being the guy that can't win, you know. He can only do wrong. He's got a lot of pressure this season. But as far as the fans go, I'm excited for Kuminga coming back. We see the talent. We see it when he gets minutes. The talent is there, but we've been, you know, programmed from the coach that he's not ready. He's not ready. We've heard that for 4 to 5 years, so that's leaked over, I think, to the media. Where is the pushback on it? Where is the people from the media telling Kerr, like, hey, Kerr, this guy can play. Give him some minutes. I know the guy from the media yesterday called him out a little bit, bro, but we need a little bit more of that, man, because I see the veterans taking Kuminga under their wing, and I think Kuminga's going to have a monster season. I see him, Jimmy, and Curry going off. Now, Dre, let's see which Dre we get. If we get the good Dre, we're going to be all right this year. I'm excited.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah,
Dre.
I literally took the words out of my mouth. That's Oreo cookie. If we get the good Dre, well, you got to take the good, the bad, and the ugly with Draymond Green. Shout out Clint Eastwood. That just goes to the territory. That's why we love Draymond, and that's why we love the Warriors. And yes, Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga, obviously, everyone's going to want to talk about that. And we talked about it all summer, and JK is back now. We can start playing some basketball. And our question is right now, JK is returned. You're bringing in Hal Horford, D'Anthony Melton, Seth Curry. What's the biggest question mark on this Warriors team for you, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. We can finally talk about the team because the team is going to be gathering for training camp. First preseason game this Sunday, baby. Let's go. They're going to be on our TV screens before you know it. We got Thursday Night Football tomorrow. We got Dubs on our TV over the weekend.
We got Giants open vacancy for the manager spot.
Buster Posey speaking to the media later. Sam, are you going to be in on that? You going to be asking some questions? Thumbs up.
Heck yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Jess, are you going to be in on that?
What, me?
Yeah, you got some questions?
I gave Sam all my questions.
Oh, that's what she did. Okay.
Sam, he sent me a novel last night.
Oh, my God. What?
But they're good questions.
As a member of the branch of the media, of the tree of the media.
The tree. The giving tree?
You will admit that I have very good, thoughtful
questions.
No,
you sent me very good questions. Let's say you sent me a novel of very good questions.
Sam's a hell of a journalist.
We got a special guest coming on the line right now. It's one Scooter Barry joining us here on the River Islands guest line.
Hope the family's well.
Scooter, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I felt inclined.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To call in on my commute into the city because I appreciate you saying nobody Kuminga doesn't owe anybody an apology. Absolutely not. He's taking care of his business. But I do think that all of this hype and all of the talk about him is going to put pressure on him. I don't agree that it'll be pressure on Steve. I think it's pressure on him to perform because he's on a team, as we've all talked about, that's older. And as you get older, you play smarter. You can't physically do what you had to do, so you got to think the game more. And Kuminga, his problem to me is that he has not yet got the basketball brain to match the basketball ability he's been given.
Can you expand on that, Scooter? Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that?
So I think the reason that everyone complains that Steve's not playing him is based on the fact that Steve plays a smart reading system. So that means that players on the court have the ability to choose what to do based on what the defense does. And that is a basketball IQ that Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, all those guys have that Kuminga is still trying to learn. And I think that his only drawback is that he didn't grow up playing the game, maybe. He didn't have that kind of intuitive basketball mind that it's hard at his age to jump into a smart team and be able to adapt. And I think that's why he hasn't been in such great favor with Steve, because he needs guys to make good decisions to be able to make the team and the offense function.
It's funny that you bring this up.
Thank you, Scooter. That was a good call.
I love Scooter.
Scooter's obviously a former pro, won a national championship at Kansas, son of Rick Barry. Guy knows his stuff. So I appreciated that the difference, because when he always say he has no IQ, he's an idiot.
It's like an instinctual feel.
There's subtle nuances to the game. And I love when people just say, like, it's an easy thing to do. Like, everyone, it's Monday morning quarterback. That's what we do as fans. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier said than done with some of this stuff. And Kuminga, we still forget. I get it. He's been in the league for a while. He was so raw coming in. Didn't really know how to play the game. A lot of these young guys don't.
So, like, you know, the version of offense that they run is so unique. There's a schoolyard element of playing against the older guys that you have to have as a young guy to be able to come in right away and know, hey, take a couple quick hard dribbles, kick it, keep moving, yep. Find someone to screen for. I don't think James Harden would be that efficient in Steve Kerr's system. Stephon Marbury, like I'm just going through some of the history of guys. I don't even think Tracy McGrady. Would these guys be good? Of course they'd be good. But I'm talking about the way they play ball, I don't think they would be a great fit for the way the Warriors play ball. Those are two separate things. Those are good players, all right? I mean, Harden's one of the great offensive players of all time. I don't think he'd be great in Kerr's system.
Maybe. I think it would look different. I do think he is a Hall of Famer, MVP, like, and he's a willing passer. So, like, he averages 9 assists for his career. I think people forget that. Like, well, he's a legit passer.
Yeah, okay.
If you could pass, okay, you could play.
So, look, you and I are just going to have an issue with that because Harden is a ball-pounding, ball-dominant guy where everything goes through him and he throws you the rock at the last second after either he has gotten triple-teamed or the shot clock is winding down. He will accumulate a ton of raw assists because the usage goes through him. Marbury was the same way. That's how they play ball. That's just how they play ball. You know, Chris Paul is a ball-pounding, everything-goes-through-me offensive-type player. I don't think he'd be good in this system because in this system, it's not about being a good individual passer. It's about passing and moving. It's about passing and cutting. It's about, you know, two steps ahead, back screening, moving without the ball. Those are elements he's actually not good at. Like, I don't think Dame Lillard would be great in our system the same way. Because Dame likes to dribble, pass, and stand.
Weren't we saying that about Jimmy Butler before he got here? That he's like, this isn't good. Like, his style of play isn't going to work in the Golden State Warriors offense? It worked, right?
Jimmy, I think the best version of Jimmy during times was when he acted as the de facto point guard, initiating offense for the Warriors, both with the second unit and alongside Steph down the stretch.
We haven't talked a lot about Jimmy yet, and he's going to be obviously a huge topic of conversation all season long. Like
he is a unique player, though. I'm glad you pointed him out. I will give you that he is, but he's also way more of a willing passer than, hey, the double team comes to me, I'm going to shoot no matter what, or I'm going to throw you what I call a grenade at the end of the shot clock.
He is, and I guess I'm just, this is where I'm at. And
Jimmy adjusted, though.
This is going to be the interesting part for Steve Kerr for me is, can he adjust as well and not be as stubborn when it comes to some of his offensive sets? I understand that they've gotten to a point and he's won a lot doing what he does, but there's also an aspect of him taking and giving from both the coaching trees of Popovich and Phil Jackson. They use a lot of triangle principles in their offense. You know, triangle, I think of two totally ball dominant guys, one being Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Not saying that's
what you hear what Phil said about the triangle.
What did Phil say?
He didn't develop the triangle for Michael or for Kobe. He developed the triangle for the others to play alongside him.
Off them, yes. And that's kind of what it is with Steph Curry with this offense.
Exactly.
Is playing off of Steph. He's that version of it. By the way, Scooter said there's no pressure on Steve Kerr. It's going to be all on Kuminga. I disagree with that. I think to maximize this squad, Steve's going to have to put Kuminga in position to succeed. Kuminga's going to have to obviously, you know, keep up his end of the bargain. I'm not saying there's no pressure on Jonathan. If he wants to get paid, absolutely, there's going to be pressure on him. But I think we're going to look at it with Steve Kerr having to deal with all those personalities, all of this, you know, money allocated to those big three, the age factor, the back-to-backs. It's going to be, again, I said it, this is going to be the most difficult coaching job, I believe, in the NBA this season, is what Steve Kerr's doing with the Golden State Warriors.
I would agree with
on
that.
On top of that, Joe, did you hear what he had to say about his contract situation yesterday?
Before you get to that, before we move on, I do want to talk about that. Just hang tight for 1 second.
Yeah.
To what Scooter was talking about regarding like basketball instincts in this system, people interpret that as, you don't think JK's smart or whatever. There are different levels. Like Alex Smith was really, really smart in the classroom. I thought he was football stupid. There were certain situations he would do, like, stupid football things.
Right.
And he would do certain stuff out there that an intelligent player wouldn't do. But he's a really bright, I mean, unbelievably smart human being.
Joe, would you say Peyton Manning is one of the smartest, if not the smartest, quarterback ever?
Absolutely.
Playoffs, you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, playoffs, you're like,
you overthink.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, even the smartest guys do boneheaded things. And Peyton, for the longest time, was labeled a choker, and he shrunk in the playoffs.
But I do believe what he's getting at regarding the element of play for JK is that Guys, and I'll give Pods this. Pods is good at this. Take a couple dribbles, defense collapse. I see the guy and feel the guy cutting back door. I'm going to kick it to him. I'm going to, you know, fade back out to the three-point land, stretching the defender away from the guy who's cutting with the ball. Like, there's all these little tiny things of playing years and years and years of what I call backyard basketball. Not organized basketball.
Yeah.
It's different, right? And
team basketball.
Yes, within the fabric of the team. I see so many young players. What do they? Most young players do?
Oh, go to three-point line and chuck it.
And they stand there like this, and they go, Joe, I'm open. Carter knows exactly what I'm talking about.
And they do the sellies.
It's hands out waiting for the ball, and they can't.
I'm going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
And I think there's an entire era of individual trainers who have only worked with people with the ball in their hand. Whereas when I was coming up, it was different. We played 3-on-3, 5-on-5, and you see the Europeans play similarly, and they understand how to move without the ball and how to move in the half-court setting and think two steps ahead, three steps ahead, understand coverage, and, hey, if the double team comes here, I'm going to back up and fade to this spot because now I'm three steps open. And all of that stuff, he's just a step behind. Like, you can't argue that. And if they want to run their system their way, like, that is something you can't replicate the hours and hours and hours of playing in the half court. My niece was a hell of a good point guard that way because she played all these older kids. Mm-hmm. And so she knew, like, I could get my shot anytime I want. But the best version of me playing ball is throwing to the open person, moving without the ball, setting a back pick. Yeah, every now and then taking three or four hard dribbles, not to set up a layup for myself, to collapse the defense to get it to my wide open shooter. That's just so nuanced. I'm not getting
No.
Maybe I'm getting too.
No, I think specific. It's not even just sports specific. It's just also life specific. I come from a very large family, and there was a clear trickle down effect of learning or, you know, getting beaten up by your older brothers. And it was a trickle down effect. I have five older brothers, Joe. So I definitely understood the trickle down effect of, you know, my brother Rob, then Steve, then Anthony, then Ray, and then me, and then my little brother Mikey. Like, we all got better and better at a certain something in our lives because we had someone else to look up to and learn from and constantly and learn from our mistakes, right? That was more of a family-specific thing for me, but that's a sports-specific thing, too. Like, you see these guys from sports families, and sometimes the baby of the family, you'll look into it. Sometimes they're the best because they had all those trial and error from their older brothers to learn from, and they learn subtle nuances from those guys, as you're referencing your niece, learning those subtle nuances from the players above her.
Yeah, and, like, you just... You can't replicate 3-on-3, 5-on-5 over and over and over and over and over again. I see, and I'm not knocking it. I think individual skill has never been higher.
Oh, the
ball in your hand, you know, the ability to be able to take a leverage lean and then lean back and hit a shot or do a crossover drill. But the game is 5-on-5. And I think that so many few trainers and people understand how to play without the ball in their hand and how to play off someone who has the ball in their hands. That's the part that I think this offense is predicated on. Do you know how to play without the ball?
Well, why do you think that Europeans are dominating the NBA right now? Because what do they teach in Europe,
Joe? All 3-on-3 and 5-on-5, and you practice seven times to playing games one.
Team basketball is what they play over in Europe, and they practice fundamentals, they practice passing, they practice IQ, they do all of that. Why do you think the two of the top 5-10 players in the NBA are Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic? Are those guys, and they're big, like, don't get me wrong, they are large individuals, size matters, but are they the most athletic players in the NBA?
No.
We were literally laughing at Luka being a fat guy last year. That's what we were doing as a society.
Well, think about who are some of the best players. You reference, obviously, Jokic and Luka. But, like, there's a reason why some of these other guys have fallen through the cracks, and their feel for how to play the game has superseded their draft position and how people viewed them. I mean, it took Halliburton how many spots before he finally, like, broke through?
Oh, a bunch.
And no, he has prerequisite height.
Yeah.
But when you watch him play, you're like, he just has a feel for how to run the offense and how to run basketball, like the way it's supposed to be played. He's got this innate feel.
And you see some of these big guys, some of those big European guys, and I know he's...
Şengün has good feel for the game.
Şengün, Franz Wagner is another big guy. Like, they just have good feel. Now the thing is, now these guys can all shoot three-pointers, which just makes them insane. The skill today, you're right, is...
The individual skill has never been better. But I do believe that the team playing without the ball, playing off the ball, understanding those concepts is probably a generation behind what it was, a, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
And their head coach is a guy that played in said generation, Steve Kerr, and he prides himself on being that guy. Obviously, Team USA head coach. The guy knows what he's doing. He's an elite head coach, one of the best currently in all of American sports that doesn't get talked about enough as far as I'm concerned. Steve Kerr is a Hall of Fame coach, and he's going to have to be a Hall of Fame coach this year to maximize the potential of this team and mix and match this lineup, that lineup, what have you. What is the big question mark for you Warriors fans? As Jonathan Kuminga now signs his contract with the Warriors, and yes, can he get traded in January? All of that. I'm not worrying about that right now. I'm worrying about training camp. I'm worrying about week one, game one for the Warriors. The biggest question mark for you now is what? 888-957-9570. We'll ask that to Nick Friedell coming up at 8:30. Covers the Warriors for The Athletic. Cousin Nick is back and better than ever. You're hearing all of his questions, by the way, already. Getting all these good responses from the players, from the coaches. He'll have some good responses for us, I am sure. But in the meantime, Carter, injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I'm loving this conversation. I love that we are talking about basketball again. Team IQ, team play, who's going to fit, who's not. Jimmy Butler, Steph, Draymond, it's going to be an exciting season. I can't wait. I can't wait for Thursday Night Football tomorrow, by the way. But is Brock Purdy going to be the starter? Brock was held out of practice yesterday as he continues to experience issues with his turf toe variant. Kyle Shanahan said that Brock will only play if there is a feeling that he could play to 100% of his ability, and it will not come down to pain tolerance. Shanahan is not worried about the injury being worse, or made worse, I should say, but did admit that his primary concern would be over Brock further injuring his toe in an awkward tackle or hit. Kind of a word salad there from Shanahan, but what do you expect? The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up next on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Nick Friedell, your calls, your text. Warrior season's approaching, baby, and JK's a part of it on 95.7 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.